Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Grace. If I didn't get to say hi to you on your way in, and thank you, and welcome everybody watch online and over at Montrose. Thanks for gathering together as well. I want to talk to you about something. We talk about something twice a year for 3 weeks each, right? So for the next 3 weeks, I'm going to mention this, and then I'm going to do it again in March. So if you don't like what I'm about ready to say, you have to skip the month of March at church. But twice a year, we just talk about your financial giving here at Grace Church. And I just try to remind you how grateful we are for that and how important it is that you do that. And your financial gifts, Grace does not raise money. We don't have potlucks. We don't do bingo nights. We don't do anything like that. All the work that we do and all the finances of the church come from folks loving Jesus and then loving people and giving your money through the church so we can serve people. So when you think about sports ministries, or you think about our special needs stuff, or you think about missionaries all over the world, or youth, or children, or young adults, or the light bill, all that is finances that come through your giving. So twice a year, we just remind you of that, and then ask you if you have not engaged that in a purposeful and repetitive way, to please do that. And we try to just keep that in front of you twice a year. So if you have never gone in and set up a GraceLink account, if you never set up purposeful and repetitive giving, if you'll hit that QR code on the back of the chairs, you'll go to the weekly, it'll be right there. And if you can make that a part of just your financial process, it really does help, it really does bless, and it really is how we do the work here at Grace. So thanks for doing that. I'm going to remind you 2 more weeks in a row, and I'm going to remind you in March. And March is heading up to Easter. So if you skip church then, man, I don't know, right? But we'd love for you to do it. So excited for that. And thanks for letting me talk about that. So it's a great weekend. Browns are playing. If you're a Steelers fan, the exit's there on the right. You can go ahead. I'm looking at YouTube back there. So it'll be fun later on to talk about that. We've been in a series here the last few weeks called Invisible Walls. And what we've been talking about is the spoken and the unspoken things that cause us to keep Jesus at an arm's length and then Jesus's family at an arm's length. And we've just been kind of like talking that through to try to give you like the ability to identify that and then like walk you through maybe how to change that a little bit. And the reason that's a big deal is because of the way that God works in us. So the Bible says this. The Bible says, when I accept the forgiveness of my sins that comes solely through Jesus Christ, right? So when I turn from my sins, or the Bible uses the word repent, and repent means to turn around. So I'm living life for myself. I find out that I'm doing wrong. That wrong separates me from God, and I repent of it. I turn around, and now I'm headed and I'm living life toward and for Jesus. The Bible says when I do that and I accept the forgiveness of my sins, 3 things happen instantaneously in that moment. One, the Bible says that my sins are forgiven and my heart is washed. The Bible uses these metaphors, washed whiter than snow. My sin is thrown as far as the east is from the west. I'm reborn, I'm made new. Like all these wonderful things happen to me spiritually. The second thing that happens, this one's a little bit more complicated to talk about, so we can, if you want to talk later one-on-one, we can do that. But the Bible says, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. So if you ever heard a Jesus follower say, God lives in my heart, that's what we're talking about. It's not a weird thing, it's just a spiritual thing, but I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. And then the third thing that we actually don't talk about that much is I become a part of the family of God. So the Bible says that when I accept Christ as my Savior, I'm adopted into the family of God. Another metaphor it uses is I'm grafted into the vine of Jesus. And then God uses all these descriptions. I'm part of the household of God, the family of God. I'm the bride of Christ. I'm the body of Christ. I'm the flock of Jesus. I'm a part of a holy nation, a royal priesthood, all these things. And if you summarize all those things up, when Jesus is talking about all those things at once, what he calls all those things at once is the church. And he says, that's my church. And the word church means called out ones. Those are my family members who are called out, and I'm a part of that. And I am made that when I accept Jesus as my Savior. So what that means is that we have a personal relationship with God, and we want everyone, the Bible would say everyone, that you have a one-on-one interaction, a one-on-one relationship with God. But then we're also made into this family, this household, this body, this bride called the church. So my interaction with Jesus and my interaction with the church is really the same thing in a lot of ways. If you interacted with my wife, Heidi, or you interacted with me, you're still interacting with the Bogue family. So we're the same thing. And so we said when we keep Jesus at an arm's length, or we keep his family at an arm's length, that directly impacts our relationship with Jesus, and it directly impacts us spiritually. So we've been talking about that, and that's all on YouTube, it's online, it's on, you know, the app if you want. You can catch up on those. But we've just been saying, like, why is it that we do that? If we love Jesus so much, that's the first commandment. The second one is, like, love your neighbor as yourself. Why do we do that to each other? And what are those invisible walls? Okay, so I want to talk about another one of these invisible walls this weekend. And what I want to talk about, it's kind of been on my heart for a long, long time. So we mapped out where we're going kind of this year spiritually. And we'll walk you through invisible walls. And then we're going to do another series here in a few weeks called The Enemy's Playbook. We're just going to talk about spiritual warfare. And at the beginning of the year, we're going to do a thing called Rooted. So if you don't know the Bible, or you're not connected with God, you're not sure, that you're going to love that one. And then in the spring, we're going to do another one about the role of the Holy Spirit and the spiritual gifts. But what got all of that going and that thinking was the conversation we're going to have this weekend. This has been on my mind for a long time. It's been on my heart. And just as your pastor, sometimes I get an instinct or like God will kind of press something on me. And I wanted to talk about that. So this is that conversation. So we're going to have a very personal conversation this weekend. I'm going to go there. So just be ready. Like I'm going to go there and we're going to have this conversation because it's kind of burned into me a little bit. And I think it's going to be helpful. So we're going to talk about the invisible wall of feeling displaced. Displaced. And I feel displaced within the family of God, or I feel like I'm on the outside looking in to the family of God. And we're going to talk about what that is, what God thinks about it, how we got there, and what we can do about it, okay? So we're going to set up shop in this passage in Ephesians. So if you got a Bible, Ephesians chapter 2 is where we're going to hang out. If you want to use your phones, Ephesians chapter 2. By the way, if you don't have a Bible or a newer copy of one, just stop by the information desk out in the lobby afterwards. We'd love to give you one as a gift. So Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. So this is what God says to the Apostle Paul. He says, so now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Jesus, is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. So I want to lean into that a little bit. So the Apostle Paul says, listen, once you accept Christ as your Savior, you are members of God's family. Now, that is huge news and important news. I want to make sure we're talking about it the right way. Ready? So if you're not a Jesus follower yet, what that means is this. That means that there is a family with a father that you are invited into and God wants to adopt you. And there's a reason why. There's a reason why in every human being, the craving for family and the craving for acceptance and the craving for love is universal. And for many of us, because of the break of a family or a break in a relationship or whatever it is, that craving goes unmet. So if you're not a Jesus follower yet, one of the things that might be attracting you to look into Jesus is that craving for that family. And what I want you to know this week as we talk about that is God wants to satisfy that craving. He wants to adopt you and he wants to call you his own. And that invitation is wide open. And it comes through salvation and it's a free gift he wants to give you. If you are a Jesus follower already, what that says is this is who you are. That you are a part of a family. Now, I want to just talk about this for a second, because the word family gets thrown around in our culture all the time, and everybody says you're part of a family, right? So people are like, you're part of the Verizon family. They're like, oh, I'm part of the Verizon family. Oh my gosh, all my needs are met now, right? And the thing with the Verizon family is they love you till you don't pay your bill, and then they don't love you no more, I mean, that's just the way that that works, right? And so we know that that's not true, but the word gets thrown around. You're part of the Walmart family. I'm a Walton now? I'm a billionaire, right? So all that means, they're just trying to get you into their club. So we like know that. You're part of the Browns family. Oh, my family's dysfunctional, so exciting, right? So we know that that gets thrown around. This is where it's so big. When God says you're a part of a family, you cannot hear it that way. You cannot hear it that way. If you hear it as a consumer or like the shallow ways that we use the word now, you'll hear it wrong. When God says you're part of a family, what he means is you're part of a family. Like you have a father, your father God. The Bible says that if you're a Jesus follower, you're brothers and sisters. Jesus said, once we start following him, that he's no longer our master, he's our friend, he's our brother. He uses this old word, he says you're a co-heir. What that means is that Jesus is my brother. And so when God says you are a part of a family, he's talking about the bond of family and the reality of like a real family. And then he goes on, he uses a more metaphor and he says, together we are his house. So when I'm a part of a family, then I form a house, because in a family, individual things make a new thing, right? So when Heidi and I were two individuals, when we got married, now there's another thing. It's not just Jeff and Heidi, it's like the Bogue family. I belong to another thing. And so the Apostle Paul is like, right, you're a family. Individually, you then make another thing. And the metaphor God uses is like a house, right? You can have a brick, or you can put a brick into a construction project, and that brick is a house. So he's like, together we form this house. And then he says, we're carefully joined together. In other words, God does all of that like very much on purpose. So the Bible would say that the church, there's like the big church, like is the universe, everybody who's a Christian on the planet is a part of the church. But then the way that the Bible tells us to organize ourselves is local churches. So like Grace Church is just a local church, is what we are. And so what Paul's saying is you're part of a family, you're a different thing, but God brought this local church, this family, he built this house in a specific way, using each of us as a part of it. And what happens is together we become the holy temple of the Lord. The temple of the Lord is where people will go to find the presence of God. So what Paul is saying here is this, he's saying, you've been adopted into a family, not the Verizon family, but like a real family. You form now, you have another part of your identity. You're an individual, it's great, absolutely 100% when you have a personal relationship with God, but now you have a unified or a together identity, because now we're a house or a family, and that group of people, the church, is where everybody else goes to find God. So as we live together and love each other and live with and love Jesus, that's how everybody who's not in the family yet knows that that's where they will go to find the Heavenly Father that they crave and want and the family that they need, right? So the church is like a thing. It's like a thing. It's not a set of services. It's not corporate charitable events. It's a relational thing, and it's a massively important part of a relationship if you're a follower of Jesus, and it's a solution and an answer and a gift if you're not yet, but you're longing for those things in your life. Now, here's the thing with family. In order to be a part of a family and to enjoy the benefits of the family, you gotta engage the family. You gotta engage the family. So let me show you how this works. I just wrote down four things real quick that like help us understand this. So if I'm gonna engage the family, I have to do certain things. I gotta make it work. So here it is, ready? If I gotta engage the family, first of all, I gotta show up. So you can have 1,000 cousins, and if you never go to the family reunion, you're not gonna know your cousins, right? So I gotta show up. So the Apostle Paul says, that's why you don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. So that's why I show up on the weekends, I show up in small groups, I show up in relationships. Because wherever you are is where your relationships are. So you show up for a family. You engage a family by serving within the family. So when I serve together, this is what happens. Serving is pleasing to God, it's personally fulfilling, but it's a phenomenal icebreaker. It's a great way to make friends. If you've ever cleaned up a park or gone on a missions trip or helped somebody move, you make a set of friends, you make a set of memories, right? Even if the memory is complaining about your friend who didn't buy you anything, no pizza, no nothing for helping you to move. You got lame friends, there's better ones at church. I'm just saying, okay? So you serve together, ready? You invest in each other spiritually. Here's the thing. If I never get to a spiritual conversation with someone, I will never have a deep relationship with them. So this is why if all of your relationships are talking football, those are fine and they're good and they're frustrating in Northeast Ohio, but they're not meaningful. And so when I invest in each other spiritually and I show up in the places where the organization of the family does, we can create Jesus spaces and 2x2 groups and Bible studies and all those kind of things. We show up places that we can build that. And then the last one is this, I gotta own the mission of the family. So God has put the family on a mission to go to all the world, to preach the gospel, to make disciples. And there's like a practical part of that mission. That's why like we give financially. Jesus said, wherever your money is, your heart is. So you will never own and believe in like your family until you invest in it financially, right? It's just the way that works. So you give, you invite. Grace Church will never make full sense to you until you're sitting in Grace Church with a friend, particularly a friend who doesn't know Jesus. Then suddenly you're like, oh, right? So you invite, you dream together. How could God use us? What could he do? And then you help to reach the lost together. When I'm praying for your friends that don't know Jesus and you're praying for my friends that don't know Jesus, it bonds us. So you engage, you gotta do these things to engage in the family. And here's the thing, ready? If you're missing any of these things, the church is not gonna feel like a family to you. It's gonna feel like a place that you attend or a charitable organization that you support. If you're missing any one of these elements, that's the way the church is always gonna feel. And God says, but that's not what it is. It's not a charitable organization. We're not a not-for-profit organization. We are the family of God, the bride of Christ, the household of God, the flock of Jesus, right? And so I look and I think, well, why do I feel displaced? Why do I feel outside a little bit? Well, at first I'd be like, well, you're probably missing one of these things. And if you can engage in those things on different levels, different ways, do what you need to do individually. But if you have those four things, you're gonna feel tied in and you're gonna feel invested in the family. And if you don't, you're gonna feel displaced and out of sorts. You're gonna feel like I'm an outsider coming into something that maybe I should be an insider in or maybe I used to be an insider with, right? Okay, now, let's talk about that for a second. So let's talk about how feeling displaced happens, and then I wanna talk about what to do about it with you, okay? So if you ask the question, I feel displaced, how did I get here and how can I change it? How would you diagnose that? So I'm trying to help us with this a little bit. Here's the things that I thought were the top five, ready? So how did I get here and how did I change it? Let's start with how did I get here? How do we feel displaced, ready? I feel displaced because the church has changed. I feel displaced to the church. So some of you have been here a long time. I mean a long time. Like a super long time. Like we're all real happy you're still with us because we're shocked. Like a super duper long time, right? And you feel displaced because the church has changed so much. When Heidi and I came here 32 years ago, I know I don't look that old because I've like a fine wine, baby. Like I mean, I aged real nice, right? So 32 years ago when I showed up, there were 400 people at the Norton campus on Easter Sunday morning. The church has grown. So last weekend, Easter, 13,000 people at Grace Church, right? So the church has changed. And when it changes, it shifts how you interact, and it shifts how you feel about it, and it can make you feel displaced. It's a real thing. We've changed because of campusing. So we went from one campus, some of you were here like way back when we had one campus, now we have 10, right? Or church plants is what a campus is, if you're not familiar with it. So like what happens is a bunch of people who used to go here are sent off to start another place where the gospel's not clear or easily accessible. And that was your life group and those were your friends and those were your kids' friends. And so it changes. By the way, If you're displaced because of that, and you feel that, you feel the exact same thing that the early church did in the book of Acts. Because they, in the book of Acts, over about 30 years, they started about 30 churches. So those same Christians went through that again and again. You can relate to them in a really unique way, because that's how the gospel spread. So the church has changed. And access to people changed, right? I remember when all the leadership of Grace Church used to fit in my living room. And Heidi and I would just have everybody over. We're like, you're the leaders, right? Well, now we don't fit in this room. And that's just the leadership. See how it works? So sometimes we feel that displacement because the church has changed. Ready? Sometimes we feel displaced because I have changed. I have changed because we all change. And so what happens is we used to stay up till like 3 o'clock in the morning talking about the mysteries of the world. And then you had some kids and you're like, I don't know that no more, right? I tell new parents all the time, you can go to bed whenever you want, but you're getting up 5:30. That's the way that's gonna work, right? So the way that we function has changed. Our work has changed. Some of us, like our work responsibility, like, man, this is harder in my career. Some of us have to care for aging parents. And our parents don't look at your mom, that's so me. Our parents are getting older, right? And so we're like, yeah, I gotta care for, and if you're in that stage of life, it's very, very hard to do. Sometimes it's just our preferences. I was talking to a friend a few weeks ago, and he said, he started here at Bath with me 25 years ago. And he goes, man, the music's loud. It's loud. I said, it's the exact same decibel levels as it was 25 years ago. You're getting old. You're getting old. He's like, I'm not getting old. I'm surprised you're still with us. Like, you're so old, right? So we change, our preferences change. And then ready? Honestly, some of you just check out. You found the beach, you found the condo, you found the RV, and you just checked out, right? So we change, I change. Ready, here's the next one. Sometimes we feel displaced because I'm new. Like some of you are like, I have no idea what you're talking about right now. Like what's a campus, what's 30 and 30? What? How loud's the music? Like what are you talking about, right? And so you're new, and when you come in, things feel big, and like I don't know my way around. There's like an internal language. And you're like, I gotta learn like these things that they discovery and collective and I merge. Like, what are you talking about? Like, you have to learn an internal language. And then frankly, just breaking into relationships is hard. Like, just knowing somebody new, especially if you feel like other people know other people, you will feel displaced. This is a big one. This is the fourth one. I feel displaced because I went all in for Jesus and it displaced me from my old life and my old friends. Like I got excited about Jesus and like none of my friends got excited about Jesus. And so like now they look at me like I'm weird. I got excited about Jesus and like I'm like doing Jesus stuff and my friends think I joined a cult. And they're like, what are you doing? You know? And so we feel displaced. And that can even happen within the church. Like I went to church with a bunch of people. I got excited about Jesus. So like I go to Bible study, they go to the bar and like I'm like, I don't really want to do that anymore. And so you can feel displaced because you got excited about that. And then here's the last one I wrote down, is I can feel displaced because I'm hurting. So like we started coming to Grace and then we got divorced. And like, I'm like, like people knew her, people knew him, our friends don't know what to do. Like we went to all kinds of couples things, now we're not a couple, right? Sometimes we feel like that because we had a death, there was a death. And like, well, now I'm the person who lost my spouse, or the person who happened, like I've been like identified that way and I'm hurting. And sometimes there's just a relational breakdown. Like we were best friends, we did everything together, and then they started cheering for the Steelers, and now we just can't be in the same room, and or worse yet, Michigan, you know, they just started worshiping the devil, right? And see, so there's a relational breakdown. Here's what I want you to know, though. Here's the thing. I wrote it down. When I feel disconnected, the path to connection is simple, but it's not easy. So there's all reasons. There's more reasons why I feel displaced. The path to connection is simple, but it's not easy. It's not easy because church is a family relationship, not a consumer product or a consumer service hub. And relationships take time, energy, and your presence. It's not a consumer place. When the Verizon family malfunctions on me, I just go to the Sprint family, right? When the Walmart family malfunctions on me, I just get all bougie and go to Target, right? Who cares, right? Who cares? But when my actual family, so when I embrace the family of God at the level and in the depth and in the paradigm that God describes his family, then suddenly those relationships are hard. And I have to make some core decisions about how to interact and how I'm gonna interact with those relationships. Okay, so I wanna make a confession. Make a confession to you. Here's the confession. The confession I want to make to you is that down deep, very down deep in my heart, I am actually a very, very insecure person. And my insecurity expresses itself usually by me withdrawing. So when I feel that I got, you know, childhood trauma and, you know, blah, 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 people and all the things that make you you, part of me, you wouldn't necessarily know, is that I have some deep insecurities. So when I feel unwanted, unneeded, or uninvited, I feel that very deeply. And when I feel unwanted, unneeded, or uninvited, my tendency is I will just withdraw. So if you've known me well, known me for a while, there's times in our relationship where you're like, where did Jeff go? Like, he just disappeared. Well, that's what I'll do. That's my instinct. I'll just like withdraw. And when I withdraw, what's going on in my heart is I'm usually hurt and I become angry because I felt unwanted, unneeded, or uninvited to something. Now, because I can put on a front when I need to, the way that that's gonna present itself is it's gonna present itself as a deep independence, a cynicism, and an outward projection of confidence. So I feel unneeded, unwanted, uninvited. I'll be like, I don't wanna go to your stupid party. What in the world? And then I'll be cynical, but my cynicism's always funny. So I mask it really well. You know, only losers go to parties. Are you a loser, right? And then what I'll do is I will take that and I'll have an outward confidence. I'd just rather hang out by myself on a Friday night, frankly. And so because of that deep insecurity, when I feel unwanted, unneeded, or uninvited, I will withdraw, I will paint it like it doesn't bother me, and I will just sit over here by myself. And what that does, I've come to recognize that over the years, so I have to fight it, because if I give into my insecurity and I'm ruled by my emotions, which you should not be because your emotions are liars. So when I'm ruled by my insecurity and I give into my emotions, what happens is I will displace myself. Or if I have been displaced, I will blame you for it. And I will justify me not connecting or working on a relationship because you're a jerk and I can prove it to you and make you laugh as I'm proving it to you, okay? So I have to fight that tendency to displace, or I will keep Jesus at an arm's length because I keep his family at an arm's length. You cannot be close to me if you reject my wife. You cannot be close to me if you reject my brothers and sisters. You cannot be close to me if you will not accept and love my children. So when I push Jesus' family away because I've chosen to give in to those things, I push Jesus away, right? Now, that's really, really hard. It's really, really hard. When I run into the scripture and Paul says things like, but you're members of the family of God. Well, I don't feel like a member because something happened. I feel unwanted, unneeded, and uninvited. So I don't feel like it. I don't even really want to be a part of the family of God. Or when Paul says, together you are his house, I'm like, you guys, whatever you guys are doing, or this is the big one, what's the church doing? I'm like, you mean you? No, I mean the church. I mean, but you're part of it. right? So I'll blame it over here. Or this is a big one. We carefully are joined together, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. I am not the holy temple that the Apostle Paul is talking about right there. I'm part of it in this context. So you're not gonna find everything you ever need to know about Jesus through me. You're gonna find it through us, but I don't wanna be a part of you. And so sometimes what happens is when I feel that, the church changed, I changed, right? I'm just new, I don't know what's going on. I'm a little bit lost because my relationship shifted. You're not as excited about Jesus as I am, or I'm hurt. And then I give a defensive reaction to it. I look and say, well, I don't want to work on those relationships because those relationships are painful. And when I do that, what happens is I will treat my spiritual family like a product to be consumed instead of a person to be loved and united with. Because when Verizon frustrates me, I just go to AT&T. When Walmart frustrates me or doesn't have the products I want, I just go to Target, right? When the Browns are having a bad season, I'll just cheer for the Lions this year. This is how we work. But when the family relationship is broken, it's gonna take energy, it's gonna take time, it's gonna take effort, which Jesus says, my people give to each other. That because this is my family. This is my bride. This isn't a charitable organization. This is the representation. This is where people come to find me. And I've crafted you together. And so we have to interact with each other that way. Would you look at your little brother or sister and conclude that they're a pain in the neck so you won't invest in them? You know, the kids downstairs. I don't have kids anymore. So we just... right? As teenagers, all they ever do is mess things up, which frankly, guys, teenagers, that's legit. It's just legit, right? So we should bar them from, collective. I don't know what collective's doing anyway. I'm like, wait a minute. Like you wouldn't do that. You would build a relationship with your little niece or your little nephew. You would invest, you would prefer them. You make sure the kids eat before the adults sit down. It's the way that a family would work. When you become an adult, would it be healthy if you still interacted with your family as a child? All of my children are, Heidi and I's children, they're all adults. And so they come over to the house all the time, which we love. And I'm like, that's great. If they trashed the house, left it a mess, and then asked me for money as they were leaving, would that be healthy? They would not be healthy. I remember our one son, I remember the first time as an adult, he came over and before he left, he looked at me and said, Dad, do you want me to take the trash out and put the dishes away? I'm like, oh my gosh, praise the Lord. Why? Because the shift had changed, ready? So you've been raised in the church, but now you're a young adult, you're an adult now. As an adult, would it be healthy if you're like mom and dad pay for everything? Will it be healthy if mom and dad do everything? No, in a family, you start to own all of those because you're an adult in it. Now, you would look at a consumer product and say, I don't wanna clean up after myself, I'm just gonna go out to eat. But in a family, you would function completely differently. If you had tension with your family, would you just drift away and join a new one? That's what I would do with like a car company. This Chevy truck doesn't run right. I should have bought a Ford. I'm getting that next time. That's how we would do that. But you're part of the Chevy family. But you wish wouldn't walk, like drift away. You know, I'm not a Bogue anymore. I'm a, I don't know what you are. I can't think of a last name right now. Johnson. I didn't want to say that because that's Heidi's maiden name and now I'm totally going to hear about that later on, right? Okay. See what I mean? You wouldn't drift away. You would pour into that. And I can tell you that when you pour into that, it takes time. Because if I have a relational breakdown in my family, it takes time. I have to pursue that. It takes energy. It's not easy to have somebody in your family upset with you. And so you have to process through, you have to talk, and it takes effort. You don't want to sit that and let that fester. You would invest into it. Why? Because we're family, and the family of God, we love each other, we forgive each other, we go to each other. And when we do that, what we're doing is we're teaching everybody how Jesus loves us, how Jesus goes to us, how Jesus invests in us. Why? Because we're the temple. We're built together so that God can be found, right? Now, it's who Jesus says we are, right? This is where we get displaced. This is what that looks like. What do we do about it? Remember, I told you, it's simple, but it's not easy. But here it is, ready? If I want to connect with the family, here's the first thing, ready? I gotta show up. I gotta show up. If I want relationships with my parents or my grandparents or my nieces or my nephews, then I have to show up in those places because my relationships are wherever I am. And I have to be in that place, ready? I gotta serve. I gotta serve. Because as I bear the weight of the family, when we all pitch in for Thanksgiving dinner, when we all pitch in to make something happen, it changes the dynamic and it changes the relationship. So I've served together. I have to invest in other people. When I invest in my little nieces and nephews, when I invest in my little brother who went to college, when I invest in my grandparents who need help now, right? And then ready? I gotta own the mission because this is what God has called the family to do. And I play a role in that. We all play different roles in it, but I play a role in that. It's not what you guys are doing over there or what the church is doing. I hope that goes really well. And then ready, this is a big one. And when relationships break down, instead of drifting or harboring bitterness or just slipping out the door, what I have to do is I have to practice forgiveness. I have to seek it, extend it, and receive it. And that's the hardest work of family. That's the hardest work of family. But as a part of the family of God, those are the things that I chase, and those are the things that I give myself to. And those are the ways that I would process a relationship, not as a consumer, not as a customer. I would process it as a family member. And I would do that work because that work is ultimately pleasing to God. Okay, now ready? If you're not careful, what you'll hear is you'll hear Jeff say, he wants us more involved in the church. He's trying to get volunteerism up. Nope, so I'm saying, you're wrong. What I'm trying to say is this, ready? When Jesus stepped out of heaven and came to earth, he lived his life in such a way that we could understand God, because he is God. So it's why Jesus stepped out of heaven and came to earth. It's why he lived and taught within the human experience. Because when I see God function within the human experience, I can understand parts of God. So I see Jesus live among us. And the Bible says the word became flesh. God put skin on. So that when I see Jesus' love, I see his compassion, I see him teach, I can like, oh, that's what he's trying to say because I can make sense of that. So Jesus lived and he taught and he did that among us and he explained himself to us. And part of what he explained is that the reason he showed up is because we needed a savior. The wrong things, the bad things that have been done to us in life, the Bible calls those things sin. And the wrong things that we do to other people in life, the Bible calls those things sin. And so what human beings do the best, most frequently, and most naturally is we sin against each other. And the Bible says that that sin separates us from God because God is perfect and we are imperfect, and perfection and imperfection cannot coexist with each other. So what Jesus did was he came down and he lived among us, the Bible says. And he did that in such a way that we could understand his heart and understand his mind, and we could understand what he was saying about ourselves, and we could understand what he was saying about himself. And when he says, you're a sinner and you need to have your sins forgiven so that you can interact with me, he also looked and said, and I am willing to do something so that that sin can be forgiven. And what Jesus did was he willingly laid his life down on the cross. He wasn't murdered. It wasn't political intrigue. He laid his life down like a firefighter or a Navy SEAL or somebody like that. He gave of himself. And when he died on the cross, he paid the penalty for all sin over all people for all time. That's what he did. And when he rose again from the dead 3 days later, the Bible says he defeated sin and he defeated death once for all. That's what he did. And so when Jesus did all those things, he rose again, what he did was he created a forgiveness for us. And he says, I am the forgiveness. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. If you want to come to the Father, you can come through me. So when I accept Jesus, he covers me and he cleanses me of sin. And that's what allows somebody who's imperfect to interact with a perfect God. And that's called our salvation. Jesus came to earth. He lived. He died. He rose again to do all of those things, but not just that. Are you with me? He did all of that so that we could be adopted into a family. Jesus's death was about our salvation, and it was just as much about our adoption into a spiritual family. And if we are craving a spiritual family, it's wonderful good news that there is one. And if you are part of one, it's sobering and important good news that you function that way. It's not an optional thing. It's not an occasional thing. It's not a convenience thing. It is our identity. See? And the God of heaven created that identity for us. And then he says, not only is that your identity, but that is how people will learn about me. It's the advancement of the family of God. It's the work of the church, the spiritual entity of the church, that allows people to know who Jesus is. It's a really, really big deal. It's a really, really big deal. And so all I'm doing is I'm like showing you, like, if you want to engage that, you do these things. If you're displaced, it would be this reason. If you want to be engaged again, do these things. But if the heart isn't there to look and say, I'm not trying to please Jeff, I'm not trying to please Grace Church, I'm trying to serve and follow my God. Your God has looked at you and said, I want you to do that, and I want you to do that together. Because you are a son and daughter of God, and then together we form the house of God. We are a family. Right? It's a really big deal. It's a really big deal. And it changes. It changes how we interact with each other, and it actually changes how we interact with the world around us. Okay? All right. This is what I want us to do. I want to end things a little bit differently this weekend. So in a minute, I'm going to pray. And as I pray, the band's going to come out and they'll move stuff around. So they're going to lead us in one song, because they're going to lead us in a song that focuses us in on the person of God. Because the Apostle Paul says all of this is built off the prophets and the apostles, and Jesus Christ is the center of it. This is a Jesus conversation. It's not a Grace Church conversation. So I wanted to get our heads back there, all the way there. And I'm gonna pray, and then we're gonna sing that song about Jesus, and then I'm gonna come back up, and I wanna make one more point before we take off today, okay? All right, would you bow your heads and close your eyes and pray with me, okay? So just let me say this to two groups of people. Number one, if you are not a Jesus follower yet, and you wanna be, and all this stuff about family and father and salvation and new birth, you're like, man, I don't know, that's what I've been talking about, then I just want to invite you to be a part of that. And the Bible says that starts with the forgiveness of sin. The Bible says salvation is a free gift. It's by grace through faith. It's not by works. There's nothing you do to earn it. It has to be given to you by a loving God. So that gift and that invitation to be adopted in his family is open and available. And if you've never taken it and you want to, then what I encourage you to do is just pray to God. Ask for the forgiveness of sin. Receive salvation through Christ alone. There aren't special words. There's not a magic prayer. Just your heart to God's heart. Don't worry about what to say. He knows what you mean. but talk to God and have that conversation right now. Ready? If you are a Jesus follower, then what is your relationship with God's family? And guys, getting displaced is normal, especially if the church is on mission. It's nothing unusual. Staying displaced is what's weird to God. And so maybe asking God to get to that place of, why am I like this now? I didn't used to be, or I don't want to be. And then asking God to give you the strength and the wisdom to lock into the family at the level and the depth that God would want you to. So Jesus, in these still moments, would you interact with us in deep ways? Would you help us? Would you show us? Would you guide us? And God, as we sing about remember who you are, would you press deep into our hearts?